we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the January 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. As I mentioned on Monday, the countdown clock is on for the 53rd Super Bowl, featuring the Los Angeles Rams and the New England Patriots this Sunday in Atlanta, Georgia. The teams arrived in the city on Monday and met with the media. We'll have some previews of the big game and a discussion about the history of the Rams later in the show. But first off, let's take a look at the Golden State Warriors, the defending NBA champs who seem to be heating up as things are cooling down in the depths of the North American winter. The Warriors bumped their road winning streak to 10 games, with five of those wins coming on this current road trip, and their overall winning streak to 11, with a 132-100 win over the Indiana Pacers in Indianapolis on Monday night. Steph Curry scored 23 of his 26 points in the first half, and DeMarcus Cousins, working his way back from injury, scored 22. Victor Oladipo, the Pacers' all-star guard of African descent, had surgery recently on a torn tendon in his knee. The team says he's expected to make a full recovery. We look forward to seeing Oladipo on the court for the 2019-2020 season. The Associated Press has this recap of the game.
Golden State put this one in the books early, scoring 40 first-quarter points en route to a 132-100 win at Indiana. Stephen Curry led the team to his 11th consecutive win with 26 points and its 10 straight road victories for the Warriors. Curry says the team is playing better and better.
Just in terms of starting off games the right way, sustaining over 48, contributions from everybody, it's been a good run, and continue to build momentum. I keep saying it every night.
DeMarcus Cousins had 22 points for Golden State. The Pacers, who have dropped two straight since losing star Victor Oladipo, got 16 points for Miles Turner. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Sunny will be back in the big chair the rest of the week. Over the last week, we've been updating you on the search for the lost plane of Argentinian striker Emiliano Sala. Sala's small plane is thought to have crashed somewhere along the English Channel on January 21st. Sala was the striker for Nantes, who was recently acquired by the Welsh team Cardiff City. While public emergency and rescue crews have called off the search for the plane, a private effort is in the works. A marine scientist, David Mearns, is using underwater scanning technology to look for the plane. Mearns explained that his team is using both an above-the-water search, looking for wreckage or clues on the surface, and a below-the-water search that will begin this weekend. They hope to find something, but there's no guarantee.
No search is guaranteed. It's the first thing I tell people. We cannot guarantee that we will find the plane. We think we have a very good chance, but there's no guarantee. But the family is determined to do everything they possibly can with the support that they have of the football community and many family and friends. At the point that I want to emphasize is the family are determined to get answers that they don't have right now. And the only way to do that is find this missing plane.
We hope the family of Emiliano Sala and the football fans of Argentina, the United Kingdom, and France can get some closure. We'll have more on the Sunny Side of Sports and the Super Bowl after this.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington. Sonny will be back the rest of the week. Let's transition to a different kind of football, the one played here in the United States. As I mentioned earlier, the Super Bowl is coming up Sunday night. It features a team that was once the laughingstock of the NFL, the New England Patriots, who are based in Massachusetts, close to the city of Boston, against the Los Angeles Rams. The Patriots, of course, seem to have been in the Super Bowl almost every season of this century. While it's not quite true, it sure feels that way. In fact, their first Super Bowl win of this run came against the Rams when the Rams were based in the Midwestern U.S. city of St. Louis. The Associated Press starts us off with this preview of the Patriots.
The AFC champion Patriots met the media for the first time since arriving in Atlanta for Super Bowl 53. The entire team fielded questions for a full hour, and naturally quarterback Tom Brady drew the most attention. The 41-year-old will be playing in his ninth Super Bowl.
We're playing against a great team, but, you know, we're going to go battle it out. I know it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough game we had all year, and, you know, got to do our best to try to go, you know, play our best game of the year.
He dismissed any speculation that Sunday's game could be his last. Brady also posed for pictures with Rams quarterback Jared Goff, who's 17 years younger, the largest age gap between starting quarterbacks in Super Bowl history. Mark Myers, Atlanta.
Thank you, Mark. Now let's take a look at the Los Angeles Rams, who are led by a coach, Sean McVay, who's young enough to be one of the players, and a quarterback, as we just heard, who's over 15 years younger than his counterpart on the Patriots. The Associated Press has this.
The Los Angeles Rams and the New England Patriots bring two of the NFL's top-scoring offenses to Sunday's Super Bowl. For the Rams, that success has been largely the result of the offensive line that has helped quarterback Jared Goff roll to over 4,600 yards passing. Tackle Andrew Whitworth anchors that line and says having seen a variety of defenses is a key to the Rams' success.
Really nothing we haven't seen yet. I mean, there's every defense, every formation and alignment defenses can do. We're used to it, and that's one of the things our group, you could be really proud of, is the ability to adapt all year long.
The line can also be counted on to help Todd Gurley in the Rams' running attack. Gary McKillips, Atlanta.
Thank you, Gary. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Rams are an interesting team because just three seasons ago, they returned to their ancestral home of Los Angeles, where they started playing in the 1940s. In the 1970s, the Rams lost in the Super Bowl to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But in 2000, the Rams won the Super Bowl against the Tennessee Titans, that time as the St. Louis Rams. My former college classmate and an NFL writer in New York City, Ari Yolcutt, joins us now to help tell the Rams' story. So we're joined right now on the Sunny Side of Sports by an old friend of mine from college, Brandeis University in the 1990s, Ari Yolcutt, who's a television writer and producer who specializes in the National Football League in New York City. Welcome to the show, Ari.
Thanks, Dan. Great to be with you.
It's nice to talk to you again since the early 1990s. And when I first met you, I knew that you were a St. Louis sports fan and your National Football League team du jour in the early to mid-1990s was the St. Louis Rams. But for our listeners who might not be that familiar with the movement of professional sports franchises in the United States, there was a team that played football in St. Louis for many years before the Rams arrived in the early 1990s. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience as a St. Louis football fan?
So I grew up in St. Louis, and I grew up a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals, who, yes, it's the same name as the baseball team, the very famous baseball team in St. Louis, but there was also an NFL team from St. Louis called the Cardinals. And, you know, your fandom for a team is usually earned over a period of time, and it really starts and gets nurtured when you're small. And when you're small and when you're young, you start to have these ties to a team, and they become beloved to you. And this team for me was the St. Louis Football Cardinals. I loved all teams in St. Louis across the board, but I had a special affinity for football, and the Cardinals filled that void. And every Sunday, as a seven-year-old, I would live for Sunday mornings when I would get to see the Cardinals, who, mind you, were a terrible franchise. Like, they were never good. At the most, I think in the strike year, when the NFL went on strike in 82, they won like 8 games. And like in my childhood, I remember that being like a year of like great wins. Meanwhile, like now the Patriots and, you know, the great teams are winning like 14 games a year. But as a Cardinal fan, winning 8 games was like a huge deal. But as a fan and as a kid, it wasn't really all about the wins. You grew to love the players. You grew to love the coach. You just loved the idea of having a football team. And so in my youth, the St. Louis Cardinals filled that need, and I loved them more than any other, probably even more so than even the baseball Cardinals, because they were – the baseball Cardinals, you know, were kind of good because they won the World Series in 82. The football Cardinals were bad, so you almost loved them more because they – you always thought this was going to be the year where they kind of came out and finally won, which they never did. But I loved that team in my youth. Loved them.
That's Ari Yolcutt, a television writer and producer and lifelong St. Louis sports fan in New York City. Ari and I are talking about what it was like to see his childhood team, the St. Louis Cardinals, move to Arizona and then eventually have the Rams come to town from Los Angeles.
So I remember, like, in the year or two leading up to it, which was 1987 was the year they moved. But, like, in the year or two leading up to it, there were rumors. You know, this was before the internet, so you would get everything from the newspaper and, you know, your local news stations. And so I remember hearing, like, smatterings of rumors that the owner, whose name is Bill Bidwell, was thinking about moving the team. And at the time, as a kid, first of all, I never even heard or had seen that happen in that era. That really didn't happen so much. And so you were like, oh, this is never going to happen. Also, the team's not very good, so it's like, who really wants them? Plus, I loved them, so I was like, this will never happen. You know, this is a football team. It's here for, you know, it'll be here for decades. But when it did come to fruition, when that did happen and they made the announcement the team was going to move, it was like a death in the family. Like, I really remember as a 13-year-old, I hadn't experienced, you know, such heartbreak, because it's like, you don't have the heartbreak of love. You don't have the heartbreak of this. And that was my first real true heartbreak, was when the Cardinals moved. I was devastated. I was like in my room. Like, I remember there being nights, like, it took me a couple days to really like get over the pain of the news that they were leaving town and I was no longer going to have a football team. And I just want to add that it was like, it never even came across my mind at a time to be like, I'm now going to follow this team and be a fan for this team while they play in another city. For me, as a 13-year-old, the instant reaction was, this guy, Bill Bidwell, the owner, is giving up on the city. I am now going to give up on his team, despite the fact that I love them so much.
So that's an interesting evolution and a good point, because the next part of the story is that a few years after the Cardinals moved out west, a team from the west moved into St. Louis, and that was the team that was formerly known as the Los Angeles Rams. So was it easy or was it hard for you to become a fan of the Rams when they arrived in St. Louis?
So actually what happened was, in the in-between years between 87 and when the Rams moved in the mid-90s, the NFL decided they were going to expand and add some teams to the league. And St. Louis went full force into the idea of getting a new team to St. Louis. And I remember very clearly my high school years, and even a little bit before, like my, I would say between the ages of like 14 and 18, it was like they were the favorite. They were one of the favorite cities to get a new team. When that was announced, the expansion teams were announced, and the city of Jacksonville in Florida and the city of Charlotte in Carolina got the new team. Both times were like added stabs to my heart that we were not going to get a team. So I went through the loss of the Cardinals, and then I went through the disappointment of not getting the new team despite the fact that just a few years before we had lost our team. I felt like we were owed a new team by the NFL, by the National Football League, and they were going to give us a new team. They didn't. And then a couple of years after that, the Rams' former owner, who has now since passed away, Georgia Frontier, decided to move the Rams to St. Louis. Immediately, I was like, I am all in on this team. This team wants me. This team wants my city. I will give them all the love back that they deserve for bringing the football fandom back into my life.
I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young in Washington. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We're joined right now by Ari Yolcutt, a former college classmate of mine and currently a television producer and writer in New York City. Ari works on NFL television during some of the season. And we're talking about the St. Louis Rams, who are a team that captured Ari's heart in his, let's say, early 20s, about 20 years ago. And he is a St. Louis lifelong sports fan. Now he's trying to figure out if he's going to be rooting for the Los Angeles Rams in this week's upcoming Super Bowl. The game is going to be Sunday in Atlanta, Georgia, featuring the Los Angeles Rams against the New England Patriots. We're talking about the evolution of Ari's feelings about the Rams, who made the Super Bowl in the early 2000s two times, winning once and losing to the Patriots. Ari, what was it like to see this newly adopted team, the St. Louis Rams, win the Super Bowl?
So as I had said before, the Cardinals, the St. Louis football Cardinals, were not a very good team. So when we got the Rams, they also were kind of mediocre in the beginning. But all of a sudden, around the turn of the century, they kind of turned the page, and they had a quarterback who became a star and an eventual Hall of Famer named Kurt Warner, who turned the team around. And they had a coach named Dick Vermeil, who was a legendary NFL coach, who came and turned the team around. And this team, which became known as the greatest show on turf because they were very fast and they were very talented and speedy, and so playing on AstroTurf in their home stadium, it gave them an added advantage. I loved it. I was like, oh, my God, this is what football fandom can be. You can have a team that's great. You can have a team that has a chance to win week in and week out. And at the time, I lived in New York City, so I didn't live in St. Louis, although anytime I would go home to visit family and had the chance to go to a game, I would. But I lived in New York City at the time, so a bunch of people who I grew up with, friends and family who are from St. Louis originally, would gather every week, every Sunday. We would either meet at somebody's apartment or we would watch at a sports bar, and we were diehard fans. We all had the uniforms. We all had, the jerseys, and we were super into the Rams, and it was a great time period to be a football fan from St. Louis.
I'm joined by Ari Yolcutt, a sports television producer and writer in New York City. We're talking about the upcoming Super Bowl, the team that he grew up rooting for some of his time in his teens and 20s, left St. Louis and moved to Los Angeles just a few years ago. The Rams are in their third full season as the Los Angeles Rams, going back to the city that they used to call home in the 1970s and 1980s and part of the 1990s before moving to St. Louis. This really is the big question for you, Ari, as somebody who was a Rams fan, as you just explained that you had the jerseys, you went to games, you watched games. Now the Rams are in Los Angeles and they're in the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. Are you going to be rooting for the Rams while they're playing the Patriots on Sunday?
The short answer is no, but let me just explain why. I need to add that that memory of the Rams winning the Super Bowl was probably my greatest sports memory as a fan. And I'm not saying my greatest football memory. I'm saying my greatest sports memory, even over some of my other teams winning championships. I told my kids about the Rams. Like, I tell my kids, like, with great admiration how much I love them. I told them about the players I loved in the Rams, et cetera, et cetera. The minute the Rams left, it brought back the same exact memories from my childhood of the Cardinals leaving. It almost feels like the equivalent to me of a spouse leaving their spouse. You have this person you love, you have this team you love, and you have these owners in the NFL who then take away these teams from these cities. And I felt, and still feel today, like Stan Kroenke, who is the owner of the Rams, did wrong by the city of St. Louis. He told them, you know, if they build a stadium, he'll keep them there. They attempted to build a stadium. He never had any intention to keep them there because he had this incredibly impressive multi-million-dollar stadium plan in Los Angeles. And, you know, it's a much more high-profile city in the United States. Los Angeles is one of the biggest cities. It has one of the biggest television markets, while St. Louis is kind of smaller and not as, you know, not as prolific and popular. And so when he left, I decided that I have been failed again. I lost another spouse, and, you know, my spouse is divorcing me, and I'm not going to give them the time of day. So I spent the last couple of years with a lot of anger about the Rams. And as this year progressed and they got closer to being in the Super Bowl, I thought to myself, oh man, this is going to be very difficult if, you know, they get there. It was as I work for the NFL, it's constantly in my mind, and it's a sore subject. As I got closer to the Super Bowl, I was like, this is going to be tough. And then this past 2 weeks ago, when they won the NFC Championship game against the Saints, I went full, you know, I decided with all of my heart and mind that I will not be rooting for the Rams. And you have to understand, I am not a Patriots fan, and the Patriots are who they are playing. And the Patriots had a very controversial, as you had mentioned, they beat the Rams in the second appearance for the Rams in the Super Bowl. And it was very controversial. There were some cheating allegations and that kind of stuff. And so the Patriots are not one of my favorite teams. But having said that, after the Rams made it to the Super Bowl and they found out that they were playing the Patriots, I made a conscious decision in my head, and I discussed it with these same fans I was telling you about here in New York, that we were not going to root for the Rams because we were not going to, you know, give Stan Kroenke our support after what he did to the city of St. Louis. So I am definitely not rooting for the Rams. I am full in on the Patriots.
Well, that's interesting that you're going to support the Patriots. I mean, I think I'm just going to watch this game with an objective eye because I don't think that I can support the Patriots. I might maybe say that I'd like to see the Rams win because the Patriots have had enough success. What do you think about that perspective?
I don't agree with it at all. I have so much anger towards the Rams that I can't even be neutral. You know, that I can't even be neutral in this case. Yes, the Patriots have won a lot, but I almost appreciate them for their winning tradition and their loyalty to their city and the love they have for the fans. They're exactly the definition of what the Rams aren't. The Patriots, Robert Kraft bought the Patriots decades ago. He decided he could have actually left at the time because that was in the rumor mill too, but he kept the team in the city. They built a winning program, and, you know, I am not so much rooting for the Patriots as I am rooting against the Rams, but having to do that means I have to support the Patriots, so that's what I am doing.
Well, Ari, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to talk with me and our audience, give a little bit of background about these couple of teams that are in the Super Bowl coming up. And I really appreciate you contributing your story to the show. Thank you very much for joining us, Ari.
No problem.
That's Ari Yolkut, a television writer and producer in New York City, who'll be wrapping up his year of covering the NFL with the Super Bowl game from Atlanta, Georgia on Sunday. Right now, the odds in Las Vegas are showing the Patriots as a 2.5-point favorite. I know Sonny will keep everyone updated as the game gets closer. And that wraps up the January 29th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Workinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. Thanks to Sonny for inviting me in to keep the big chair warm during this cold weather. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, has the perception of women as leaders on the continent changed in the last decade? An in-depth discussion on African women and their future as leaders on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Ha ha!
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move, don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Now there is the youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally.
I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Some of the biggest challenges NASA faces to meet its goal of sending humans to Mars in the 2030s is making sure its astronauts are kept healthy and safe from harm. Unlike current space flights, a round trip to Mars would involve about 3 years of deep space travel. Cosmic and solar radiation and a weakening of muscles and bones are among the health problems NASA has of sending humans into deep space. A recent University of Arizona-led study now expresses concern about the effect such a journey would have on an astronaut's immune system. The researchers studied the effects of spaceflight on NK cells, a type of white blood cells that kills cancer and stops dormant viruses in the body from restarting. They found weakened NK cell functions in astronauts who were up in space 6 months or longer compared to those who hadn't traveled to space. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.